I'm delighted now to welcome to the show John Greenspan, Tony Hatch, and Richard Block. And for those of you who've been listening to KSFR for a number of years, these are all names from the history of KSFR from its very beginnings 10 years ago. It's been 10 years this month since KSFR formed as a separate, what is it, John Greenspan? It's a separate foundation that was separate from the Santa Fe Community College.
That's correct. The station license is held by the Santa Fe Community College, but we formed a corporation. Actually, the corporation was in existence, but we kind of hooked up with it and filed a proposal to manage the station for the college when there was a time where the college wanted to actually sell the station to somebody else, and we said we should keep the station. So that's how all this came about.
So let's talk about each of your involvement. Tony Hatch, you were the first news director of KSFR, and I remember it was about 10 years ago, and I heard that KSFR, I guess I knew somebody who was involved with the station, and I heard that KSFR was in a state of change. I was already DJing a music show on the weekends, and but I heard that they were starting a news department, and I went to the very first news class that you taught. And you brought recordings of old-time radio news, including the crash of the Hindenburg.
Hindenburg, yes, which Richard corrected me on years ago when we were doing a promotion. I had misspelled the Hindenburg. Yes, that class, it's hard to believe it's 10 years ago. And you look lovely 10 years later. I can't speak for the other men sitting around this table, but it's hard to believe it's 10 years ago. Yes, we started a news department, and it was started because of the sense that the public was not well served here in Santa Fe by the Albuquerque stations. And I still think that's the perception or the reality.
Well, of course, you know, these two cities are, even though they're only an hour apart, they're very far apart. And so people covering news in Santa Fe aren't covering Albuquerque as much and pretty much vice versa.
That's right.
So what was, John, what was KSFR like at that time 10 years ago? I was listening to you made a brief history of KSFR, a little CD, and something I didn't know was the broadcast day started at 9 a.m.?
That's correct. It was on automation during the evening hours, and then we actually got started with jazz at 9 a.m. And as far as news, it was rip and read, as they call it in the business, and we would get some stuff over the AP wire or whatever. And I remember with Donna DiBianco, sometimes we would take about 5 to 7 minutes and read some news stories, and that was it. But I agreed with Tony, when we eventually got to know each other, that we needed some real local news here. We needed a hefty news department. It was something lacking in the community.
And so, Tony, how did you actually get a news department started? I mean, basically, you were training volunteer reporters, some of whom had never done any kind of news reporting or reading before.
Well, I had done something very similar to that years before in Israel, helping to start Israel Television Service, starting a news service, and dealing with people who either were not journalists or they were radio journalists. So it was the same thing, and that class was really intended to try to find people like yourself who were interested in radio and doing radio. And we then threw them on the air, as a matter of fact, and we got on the air very rapidly with a news department.
And next thing you know, KSFR is winning every year the AP Awards.
Yeah, well, that's because it has a very good news director, and we were lucky. He came in those early classes, but he, as a matter of fact, didn't really need the knowledge about how to do news programs because he had come from that background.
And, of course, we're talking about the fabulous Bill Dupuy.
Yes, Bill Dupuy.
But you were news director first.
Yes, yes, but it was really a startup operation, and it was to get on the air. And I remember we did a very ambitious series called Water Week. There were unique reports about the water situation in the Southwest every hour on the hour. We did 72 installments, I believe, with some people who had never done this before. And it was trying to kickstart this operation, this news operation, and get it going.
I remember that, and it was very good, and it was very interesting. Now, how did the BBC get added? Were you there at that time?
Yes, I was, and I suggested that we try to get the BBC. Other stations in this listening area were getting national public radio. BBC was not carried here, and it seemed to me a good value added. What's the word I'm looking for? Trying to get something into the mix of local radio here that this audience in Santa Fe would appreciate.
Now, NPR wanted to get us as part of the family, and I talked to them about that. But my feeling was, besides the fact it was very expensive, that we would simply be duplicating what there already was. There's plenty of Morning Edition. That's on several stations mm-hmm. around here. And I thought that by doing BBC News, we'd get some diversity and people could have a choice. And maybe you like the story BBC is covering, maybe the one Morning Edition is covering. But the point is, you would have a choice.
You know, also at that time, I think in order to get BBC, we joined PRI, or Public Radio International, which carried that. But the other kind of reservation about NPR is that if you're an NPR station, you do have to obey a lot of their rules on fundraising, on all kinds of things. And it curtailed our freedom, and of course, we needed to raise more money. At the time, we were one of the parts of the agreement with the community college was that not only would we manage it, but we were also responsible for financing it entirely.
That was an amazing moment. KSFR had existed before 10 years ago. It existed for some time, but they were a line item in the community college's budget. And one day, the president of the community college just slashed all non-academic programs overnight. So the station went from being, I think, $250,000 budget to zero in a day.
And for that first year, at least, the board met every single week.
That's correct.
And the subject was, where are we going to get the money to continue on next week and the week after?
That's correct. And the station had never done on-air fund drives, and the first one we did was in December of 2000, and we sat there for about a week and raised $12,000. What we've had to do is to educate the public that you support your local public radio station. That's the way it is, and I think Santa fans have gotten the message.
We're talking about the history of KSFR. I have to say, another thing behind the BBC was around the time that we were deciding, and I was first a volunteer and then a part-time behind-the-scenes engineer, so I was watching everything that was going on. But part of what was going on was that it was the build-up to the invasion of Iraq, and there were a lot of people who were listening to NPR and begging us to have something else on that gave a point of view about this impending invasion that was something other than essentially cheerleading for the U.S. government. And that was one of the things that led to the decision to bring in the BBC.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, John just said that first fund drive. One of the requirements if you're an NPR station is they do these fund drives and they're 1 week. And I learned fundraising on the air from Alan Chartok at WAMC in Albany, and he is a phenomenon.
He's the best in the business.
He's a phenomenon, and we're friends, and he taught me a lot about this. And it seemed to me that how much money we need, and we stay on the air till we get it. And then the next drive, we got 52,000, and then it went to 100. And of course, the budget of the station grew all along. But we went on the air, and we stayed. The first time I remember, we were on for 17 days.
I remember that one, and you and I were there a lot of the time.
Richard Block, I remember you were there in your little flip-flops.
From 6 in the morning till 7 at night.
And you were going completely bananas yourself and driving all the rest of us crazy as well.
Block was the mainstay.
But we raised the money.
We raised the money.
That's the point. And you know, we did all kinds of things to do it, you know, but it's just a little, you know, I guess a little bit of P.T. Barnum thrown in.
So the station has evolved in a number of ways. One was that the news went from being non-existent to being really first-rate local news, and then with this international news of the BBC thrown in, there was also a consolidation and a change in the way programming was done. So certain kinds of programs went on the weekends that had been scattered all over the broadcast day. There was always jazz in the morning, classical in the afternoon. And then there was a decision which was quite controversial to change class, to basically take out classical in the afternoon and put jazz all day. What was that about?
Well, what happened was that you have KHFM in Albuquerque, which puts a signal in Santa Fe. In fact, they identify themselves as Santa Fe Albuquerque. And they were very popular among people who like classical music. And most people, when they turn on the radio, leave it on one station all day. Now, there are a few of us that are all over the place, but that is not typical. And we were getting ratings, and we simply could not cut into their audience on classical music. Now, at the time, I did not know that we were going to be able to change frequencies and go from 90.7 to 101.1. And we had tried to get translators to increase our coverage, but we ran into a problem with the FCC. Whatever happened, we were always down low on the preference list. But eventually we did get to 101.1 and increased our signal, but we simply weren't attracting much of an audience for classical music at that time. So we had to make the decision. And, of course, we do have classical music Sunday afternoon. We had opera on Tuesday evenings. But, you know, it was just one of those things. We couldn't pull in the audience.
Even though our classical music programs played entire works, unlike KHFM that does pieces.
That's true.
One movement of something.
Yeah, and we had some wonderful classical DJs. The amazing Kit Blackwood, who I remember she was always having trouble actually controlling the CD players, but the music that she played
good
was
music.
Wonderful. Yeah. She had such great taste, and so did many of the other classical DJs.
Yeah, I used to play complete Mahler symphonies, you know, in the afternoon. I really enjoyed doing that, but as I said, we just couldn't get, we had Arbitron ratings, and we just couldn't cut into them at that time. So that's what happened.
Now, all of you were at one time or another on the board of KSFR, and the board hired general manager at that time, Dal Dearman, who was with the station for many years. And I want to send some kudos out to him, because he really grew this station from nothing into the station that it is today.
He did a great job, really. John was the first president of the board. And then I followed him as president. But Dal and I worked as partners for two or three years, pretty much. And he really did help this station. I mean, you know, to think now of KSFR and compare to what KSFR represented 10 years ago, when, you know, very few people even heard of us. And then slowly we became involved. Dal and I both schmoozed the city council a lot, got the city council involved, got the city to contribute annually here.
And it brought this amazing thing, which was the broadcast of the city council meetings, which
That's
most
right.
cities don't have. And it's a huge service to the, I mean, not everybody listens to it, and sometimes it's not the kind of radio you want to listen to, but a lot of the time I'm driving along listening to that, and it's democracy in action. You get to hear what your city council is doing.
And Richard, you know, you and I went to the legislature too to get funding from them.
We did indeed.
So, well, we but I have to tell the story about the mysterious check, if that's okay.
Oh goodness!
Oh yes, that was early on.
Yes,
yeah.
This was early on. This is when we're meeting every week. We don't know if we're going to make payroll the next what little payroll we had, and we're in our office there, which all of us shared. And I open up an envelope,
the size of a closet, by
the
way.
and still is.
Yeah. And you know, we open up this one envelope, no return address on it, and there's a check inside that falls out, and it was for like $22,300-some dollars and some odd cents. The signature was illegible. There was a note inside, good luck, I hope you guys make it. The check was drawn on the Foundation for Urban Research, which is a 501c3. It's based in Philadelphia. Dal ran to the bank, put the check in. I mean, he just took off, and the check cleared. We sent a thank you note to this organization in Philadelphia. We never heard back.
No.
We don't know how we got this or who, what, why, where, but it happened. And in those days, that was about two to two and a half months of our operating expenses. And when that happened, I said, I think we're destined to make it.
Yeah, and if whoever is responsible for that is listening now, we want to say once again, thank you.
Thank yes. you. It was amazing. I mean, it was so scrawled, you couldn't read it. And there was no identification on it. And, of course, the first thing we thought is, oh, of course, it's no good. But it was.
So another big milestone for KSFR was when we started streaming on the web and having a website. That was, for us, I mean, I guess everybody started doing it at the time or a little before, but that made us that brought us from being a local to a national station.
Absolutely did. And we have heard people... or from people around the world, from Glasgow, people in Israel, New Zealand.
I got an email from Jakarta the other day.
Wow. Amazing.
Just a random person who discovered this show.
And yeah. During the fund drives, after we had this set up, we got contributions, as I recall, from Scotland, from England, and Austria, I think, one time we got a contribution. So it's remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, you have to stream these days. That's, you know, that's the way it is. People are all over the place. But yeah, we certainly joined the 21st century.
What's also amazing is when you think about it, 10 years back, you didn't have the internet as it is today. You didn't have social networking. You didn't have the technology, the platforms that you do. It was really when we changed KSFR, it was in the early days of communications as it is today. If I'm making any sense in that, these things didn't exist.
One of the things that I think is also worth mentioning and worth really commenting on is there's been some continuities through all these years, and that is the music shows that are on in the evenings. Susan O'Hori has been here forever. Acoustic Explorations has been here. Peter Williams with his amazing Thursday night show. Mark Keekley, the Invisible Man, doing Map Is Not Territory, has been here for ages.
Yeah, I brought him on, by the way, and I just loved his ideas, too. Mark has done a great job.
And Terrell, of course.
Oh, yes. Steve Terrell's an institution here.
Yeah, I have so many people. I'm not mentioning them all because I'm not looking at the program schedule, but one of the things that people don't know, perhaps who are listening during drive time, is the music shows and the shows that are happening at night are done by people who are really, really knowledgeable and obsessed with the kind of music that they play. And obsession is one of those qualities that I love about public radio.
You have to be.
Yeah. Also, let me just add a couple of things here. One of the things that helped save the station were all the wonderful people who came out of the woodwork to help out. Of course, Tony was one of those. We were in it from the very beginning. And Mary Charlotte, I also want to just mention that after we had got started, one day I was doing my afternoon classical show, and Dorothy Doyle, who should also be mentioned, who really,
definitely,
you know, rolled up her sleeves and did a lot of great work, brought you into the studio, introduced me to you, and I just thought, I think this person's going to be special. The rest is history. Of course, Richard, you sent me a letter. You wanted to be on the board, and your resume looked good, and, of course, you just did so much for the station. And Tony, I felt you were kind of a mentor to me, particularly as we did have to deal with some personnel issues when we took over. And you helped me get through that and explain how things work in the real world. I came from the government. So anyway, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, all of you have made a tremendous contribution to KSFR. Tony Hatch, the original news director and the founder of KSFR News, local news. John Greenspan, one of the original board members and board presidents. And still, you are doing Good Morning Jazz. When are you on the radio, John?
All right, we have Good Morning Jazz on Wednesday and Thursday mornings, 9 to noon, and we have the Forum on Tuesday evenings at 6:30, where we have a liberal, a moderate, and a conservative. We discuss issues, and we prove that you can disagree with each other and not scream at everyone or be disrespectful. It can be done.
That's a beautiful thing. And you're also DJing on KHFM in Albuquerque. And Richard Block, also on the board for years here at KSFR, board president for a while, and the voice of the fund drive for many years.
You know, I would stand in line at the grocery or at Smith's or something, and when I'd speak, and someone behind me would say, "Do I know you?" And I said, "Do you ever listen to KSFR?" Yeah. I said, "Well, I'm the one who's always exhorting you for money."
And saying things like, "Would you go use your neighbor's washing machine?"
That's right. Would you borrow your neighbor's hose?
Oh, yeah. Would that help? Yeah.
And I do, just to correct Tony, John and I are still lovely also.
Yes.
Well, I don't know about that.
On reflection, yes.
What's remarkable is everybody looks exactly the same as they always did. Well, I want to thank you.
I don't have as much hair.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you cut it short, so... I want to thank you all for being with us on the Radio Cafe and for your contributions to KSFR over the years. And I want to thank all of our listeners for sticking with us during the hard times and growing with us. And it's a terrific station, and I'm really proud to be part of it.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.